There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
On the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hey, welcome to the second hour of our Common Sense Show. We're up in St. Louis, Missouri this weekend. I've got a class reunion, my 55th year class, high school class reunion, up here next to Ferguson, Missouri. We're going to go out and take a look at Ferguson and see, get a little sense of what it's all about so I can talk about it with you on the show next week. This year is the 800th anniversary of the signing of the Magna Carta. Now, most of you in your basic history classes know that the fundamental rights, the rule of law under the U.S. Constitution, under the Declaration of Independence, going to the Boston Tea Party, you name it, and it all comes supposedly from the Magna Carta. 800 years ago this year. How important was the Magna Carta? Make a big deal about that. I'm a history buff. I've always heard about the huge effect on the Magna Carta. And I want to see just how important it is and put it in perspective. We've got to keep all this history in perspective to see just how it balances out for us as we move forward. Professor Tom Ginsberg is my guest. He's written at length about the Magna Carta, written several recent articles that are getting a lot of interest. You can read all about Professor Ginsberg and see his article on my website at jimbrownusa.com. Hey, Professor, glad you joined us here on the Common Sense Show today to talk about the Magna Carta.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
Put in perspective for me, if you will, Tom. We talk about it's mismentioned so much every time. I mean, you know, how many federal and state courts in their opinions that have been written to refer to the Magna Carta? It just seems like it's so basic. How tell us, is that the proper view? Is there justification for this huge celebration? Have we kept the Magna Carta in its proper perspective in the last 50 or so years in how we interpret our way of government?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned U.S. courts citing Magna Carta. I did a little study of that and showed that since about 1970, 1980, citations to Magna Carta have really taken off. It's become very common to cite as a kind of source of our liberties. And so I went back and looked a little bit at the history of it. And it was pretty interesting because I think, you know, although there's a couple of clauses in Magna Carta which are, you know, have been focused on, there's lots of other stuff in there. And it turns out there were lots of other documents around the same time which did many of the same things. So it's one of these things where it has become the symbol of a bunch of things for which it may not be necessarily the best or the only source.
Well, give us a little history, if you will. You know, a lot of people have heard of the Magna Carta. They don't really know where it came from. They don't know who wrote it. They don't know who it was directed at. And can you give us a little history about what brought the Magna Carta about? What does the term Magna Carta mean? And what was the history of how it got formed in the first place?
Yeah, sure. It begins, actually, with famous King John, who we all know through the Robin Hood story. And, of course, he's kind of a villain in that story, and he was seen as a villain by many of his own nobles. And he was the third or fourth in the line of British kings that were engaged in a war over territories in France. And he kept raising taxes to fight these wars, and he didn't have a lot of success on the battlefield. He ended up fighting with one of his brothers and, you know, squandering a lot of the royal fortune on this effort to reclaim territories in France. And this provoked a revolt by some of his nobles, his barons, and they began to think about putting up a new king. And so there's like a civil war, you might say, in England. And really what Magna Carta is originally is a peace treaty between King John and his nobles, where he agrees to various provisions that are in there, and they agree to monitor him and stop the fighting. But John immediately rejected the thing he had just put his seal on. He's forced to put his seal on it at a place called Runnymede in southern England.
Don't want to cut you off, Professor, but if I remember my history right, I studied a little bit about this when I went to Cambridge University over in England back many years ago, but John was illiterate. He had to put his seal on there. He couldn't sign his name. Is that correct?
That's right, and of course it wasn't that unusual at the time. So he just had to take on faith what he was told it had said and did put his seal on it. He didn't sign it. And he maintained that he was coerced. And so he immediately went to the Pope and tried to get the Pope to annul the document as being a product of coercion, and the Pope did so. The Pope annulled the document officially. John himself had had some problems with the Pope earlier, but he had gotten over those. So he was really, didn't get along with a lot of the powerful figures of the time. But anyway, he gets the Pope to repudiate or to annul the document. And then the barons start their battles up again. They are marching to try to replace him as king, and he just happens then to die a few months after the signing of Magna Carta. So that's kind of the first myth of Magna Carta. Is, you know, we tend to think of it as this document which constrains the rulers, but in fact it didn't really constrain John very much, and he never really agreed to be bound by its terms.
Go ahead. Well, what I was saying was, then, from your explanation for what you're saying, it really wasn't so much about basic rights. You know, we all hear about the Fifth Amendment and how you can't enter someone's home and all these various things. Really, from what you're saying, it kind of came down to money, didn't it, about what they paid. It was some basic rights for the noblemen, and it dealt with their ability to not have to pay so much money. Did it really get down initially to the basic peasant or the basic person who was not really involved in the big landowners and the noblemen and all, and didn't have any direct involvement with the king?
No, of course, it had nothing to do with the average person. The language is phrased in terms of the freemen. So freemen have certain rights under Magna Carta. But, of course, freemen at that time meant about 1% of the population. So the idea that this was a document that was protecting democracy or a fountain of democracy, I think, is really quite wrong. This is basically a bargain between a group of noble elites interested in their own privileges and a weak king. And, you know, one... perhaps a very telling example of that is the requirement in Magna Carta that nobles can't have their titles removed or be put into prison without judgment by a jury of their peers. And, of course, we tend to think of this as something is the origin of our jury system. But it's actually sort of the reverse. Like, what the barons were concerned about is that they might be judged not by barons but by commoners. The king's judges were commoners, and they didn't want to be judged by commoners. They wanted to only be judged by themselves. And so that's really the origin of that phrase in Magna Carta. They're really interested in protection from the common man, not protection of the common man.
Well, then, how would you evaluate the influence of the Magna Carta on us today? In other words, one interpretation you could make based on what you're saying is that it didn't really do a heck of a lot for democracy or didn't really open the door to a variety of individual rights, but it started the process. It was a first step. It wasn't a major step, but it was a first step that over the years was referred to and grew and gave us a much more freer foundation today. That's the question I want to ask you. But before you do, I want you to hang on because we've got to take a little pause right now to pay some of the bills. Professor Tom Ginsberg is my guest. He's written a very informative article about the Magna Carta, the effects of the Magna Carta. You can find it on our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. And we're going to come back and talk some more with Professor Ginsberg. Freshen up your coffee. We'll kind of do a little business here and come on back to make some more common sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Working on a home or residential painting project? There's only one name you need to know, PPG. PPG has earned the respect of professionals and homeowners alike because we combine the latest paint technology with expertise and knowledgeable service. PPG offers a broad range of primers, paints, stains, and specialty products to meet all your needs. Available at either our PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints Company-owned store or independent dealer locations throughout the U.S. Each PPG product comes with the customized service you deserve to make sure you get the right fit for the job. And choosing colors has never been easier thanks to the PPG Voice of Color system that helps users discover colors that match their personality. So for the best quality products, excellent service, easy-to-use color tools, and great results, visit your local PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints location today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoVite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoVite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. ExtendoVite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoVite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoVite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
As a parent, one of my greatest concerns is for the safety and well-being of my family. But no matter how concerned I am, it doesn't take the place of taking action and preparing for the unknown. I plan by having a GoFood savings account where I allocate a little money each month to have health store quality food delivered to my door at budget store prices. Although GoFoods are storable for 25 years, they are family mealtime favorites even today. My family asking to eat the food that we are storing lets me know that when we only have the food we stored to live on, that we won't have the added stress of eating unfamiliar or undesirable food. Buying GoFoods is investing in the future of my family. Convenient packages allow me to buy according to my budget, and I get free shipping on my monthly orders. To set up your GoFood savings account, call 800-648-9753 or on the web at www.storefoodnow.com. That's 800-648-9753.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Talking about the Magna Carta, 800 years ago this year, the signing of this, what some people consider a monumental document, It was signed at the time by King John of England back in 1215 that gave certain rights that some people say built the foundation for our democracy today. Professor Tom Ginsberg is with me. He's written a article that basically says, keep it in perspective that it was just for the noblemen. And so my question is, how important should we be teaching this as a major document in our history classes to our kids today? Was it a first but very important step in giving us our basic rights today? Or was it just another document floating around that we ought to pay attention to but really shouldn't make that big a deal of? What's your thoughts on that, Professor?
Well, first of all, I would say that it shouldn't be treated as the first step. It might have been, you know, maybe better characterized as the second or third step in a history of British documents to which we now look back as the origin of our rights. So habeas corpus, actually some people trace back before to King John's father, the right of a jury a jury trials had begun to develop a little bit before then, although you know, nothing like in our modern form. So, you know, maybe second or third step. But all that said, it's in fact the reception of the Magna Carta several centuries later that really is fundamental to our own history as Americans. And for this reason, some people think that Magna Carta has a better reputation in America than even England. British don't pay that much attention to it, but we obviously venerate it. And that has to do with some things that happened in the 17th century. So in the 17th century, you had a new set of British monarchs who were seen as abusing their authority, and you had a rising class of people in Parliament and some lawyers, famous lawyer Sir Edward Coke, who were trying to constrain the king. And what they did is they made the claim that kings had always been constrained and that kings, you know, that British men, all British people, including commoners, had had a set of rights and freedoms that went back, you know, to the 11th century that had been codified in Magna Carta. And as we said before the break, that's not really historically accurate representation of the document, but it's that vision of what the document had that becomes really influential. First in Britain with the rise of Parliament, and then, of course, very influential on our founding fathers through other lawyers around that time. Blackstone and Coke were very well known. And so what they said the Magna Carta meant inspired our own founding fathers to also draw on the document. So it's really...
Well, then what you're saying... And that makes pretty good sense that it was overhyped back in the 11th and 12th century and didn't have a major change in the populace, an agreement, financial help for the noblemen. But it was used as the foundation to then build on our present system, the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution. So much of the rights that we build into our present-day Constitution, often we go back and talk about so many rights within the Bill of Rights, and we lay it on the Magna Carta. Whether it was fair or whether it wasn't, we still developed the rights. So it might have been a little overhyped. But it was a reference to go back to, and so it is, as you're saying, one of a number of documents within that period of time and coming forward that built a foundation both in this country as well as England. It laid the foundation for, you know, what happened in France and to democracies that eventually developed all over the world. So keep it in perspective, right?
Well, that's right. I mean, it's an interesting historical question, where we would have been without Magna Carta. I like to think that our founding fathers would have found other bases to make their arguments and other sources of them, just as the English would have. I mean, and I think there's some support for that, because there are many other countries, of course, which don't have this particular legal tradition that have also had democratic revolutions and such. And, you know, I think there's something... People, my view is that people actually genuinely do long for freedom and are going to find a way to get it, and they just happen to seize on this document as the symbol. You know, it's that kind of puzzle. Some documents become really popular, and other ones don't. And I could, you know, name three or four other medieval documents around the same time, which most Americans have never heard of, which contain many of the same principles as Magna Carta. So who knows? If it hadn't been this, maybe it would have been something else. But in any case, it is certainly the symbol of it that matters more than the reality.
Well, of course, you can say the same thing about the Bible. You know, the fact that the books in the Old and New Testaments give a basic foundation, but there were any number of other books written about that time that gave the same instructions, that laid the same premise out, that talked about, you know, one God and that referred to Jesus Christ. And there were hundreds of other documents at that very same time. And if you made it into the Bible, you got an awful lot of credit, much more so than the others. And I guess the same thing, the Magna Carta. You know, that was given the focus of credit, although there are many other documents that evolved. Is that a fair comparison?
I think that's right. And, you know, just as we can go back and find some things in the Bible, you know, animal sacrifice and stuff that don't seem to make much sense to our contemporary reality, you can find the same in Magna Carta. There's some very particular provisions, one banning a certain guy named Gerard of Athy from serving in government. Another one requiring the return of some hostages. So a lot of very specific things, which only would have had meaning to those people at that time. There are two or three provisions, three actually, clauses, which are still good law in Britain today. And those are the ones we tend to focus on. But, you know, it's a little bit of a puzzle as to why some things take off and others don't.
And I think you make a good point about a document that's being fluid, that is added to and develops century after century. We're certainly finding that debate in our country today over basic individual rights, freedom versus security. What does the Constitution mean? How much protections, how much freedom should you get? Should you give up freedom on behalf of security? And how much invasion does you want your government to take in terms of your private life? The same issues that were dealt with by the average Brit back in 1215, you've still got many of those issues developing today. So all these debates of all these rights, we wish it were real hard and fast like the Ten Commandments, but it's much more right. Fluid and changes are much better, as I think is what you're saying to us, and I certainly agree with you along that line. So, where do you teach?
I teach at the University of Chicago Law School, and I teach international law. I teach sometimes I teach administrative law. I'm a specialist in constitutions around the world, so I work a lot on in many countries on different constitutional production processes and such. And so I do think a lot about these fundamental rights, where they come from. And as you say, Jim, you know, we ourselves wouldn't want to just stick with the understandings of you know, even our own founding fathers as to what, you know, constituted a search and seizure, given all the developments of technology and such over time. These things do have to evolve to fit their context. And in
no
my
doubt
opinion,
about it. So,
the Constitution has done that.
No doubt about it. Professor Tom Ginsberg, thanks for being with us on the Common Sense Show today. My website has his articles, more about the professor, at www.jimbrownusa.com. Hey, thanks for spending some time with us today. Look forward to talking again sometime in the future.
I appreciate it, Jim. Have a good day.
Take care. Take care. Interesting guy, interesting subject, the evolving Constitution. Hey, we're going to take a pause right now. Coming on back and talk to us some more about flying these planes.
Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
All of us want to stay healthy, particularly as we grow older. I work out and try to watch what I eat. But you need more. You need a vitamin supplement to give you that extra energy and to help keep your weight down. My solution? I use Youngevity vitamins and minerals to keep me in good health. They're easy to take, and the power drinks, for me, really taste good. Hey, give them a try. Go to my website at jimbrownhealth.com. That's jimbrownhealth.com. You'll be glad you did.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley with U.S. Tax Shield. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
Many are in disbelief today after word of shocking allegations against a Minnesota-based talk syndication company known as GCN. It's claimed that they're the fourth largest talk syndication company in the U.S., making it even more scandalous that they've been accused of helping business owners expose themselves on a massive scale. Let's go live to Tom for more on this story.
It's being called the greatest exposure of our lifetime, while other business owners are beginning to step forward claiming they, too, exposed themselves with the help of GCN.
It's true. They're all guilty. Every last one of them. GCN helped me get the exposure my company needed, and just think, that was years ago. Today, GCN has like 700 affiliate stations and over 6 million downloads from iTunes and their website every month.
Imagine the exposure your company can get.
Expose your business to the masses. Email advertise at GCNlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. GCN.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. And use the promo code SILVER. Over 2015 for 30% off of your entire order, and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Identity theft is real. So real, it could be making you its next victim right now. At the gas pump, bank, or store where you shop with your credit card, bad guys with RFID scanners can peer into your wallet or purse from a short distance away, stealing information from your RFID-enabled credit or debit cards, passports, room keys, and ID cards without you even knowing it. Stop the bad guys now with an RFID-blocking wallet from ID Stronghold. ID Stronghold founded the entire RFID blocking industry over 10 years ago. Their stylish sleeves, clutch purses, and wallets are shielded throughout. The best you can buy at great pricing, as low as $14.99. Don't wait until your wallet needs replacing. Protect your identity now. Click IDStronghold.com or call 1-800-610-2770. That's 1-800-610-2770. ID Stronghold, the original RFID wallet company.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
We talked at the beginning of the hour to some degree about this whole controversy over flying Confederate flags over state capitals. You have the Confederate flag flying over South Carolina state capitol after those terrible shootings, and the governor's announced that she's making a lot of push to take it down. It's locked on up there. You got to pass legislation to bring it down. You've got a portion of the Confederate flag built in to the state flag of Georgia, of Alabama. And, of course, the sign of the Confederate flag is displayed on license plates and bumper stickers and various paraphernalia around the country. Just what effect does that have? How important are symbols like that psychologically to those who push the symbol and those, particularly in the African-American community, that strongly object to the symbol? Dr. Tiffany Sanders is joining me right now. She's a licensed psychologist, and she is specializes in treatment of depression, anxiety, written a very interesting book called My Purpose is for Real, Seven Simple Steps to Get Back on Track to Achieve Your Dreams. You can find that book and information about Dr. Tiffany on my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Hey there, Dr. Tiffany. Good to talk to you today.
Thank you for having me.
an interesting subject, and I thought you would bring a perspective. You know, there is either a lack, to some people, this flag, flying a Confederate flag that was the symbol of the Southern forces opposing the North in the Civil War. It's just no big thing. And I've heard people tell me today, well, what if that, if the killings had not happened in South Carolina, the terrible tragedy of those people in that church. Let's assume that never happened. Would we be talking about the Confederate flag today? I mean, it's been flying there for many, many years. I think I've read of an occasional protest, but as far as any banding together of major protests in Mississippi, in Alabama, in Georgia, and particularly in South Carolina, it's kind of been nil. Does it take some dramatic negative event like this to bring about change? Is that just part of the focus of change? Because if the terrible tragedy hadn't happened, would we just going about our business and they not even talking about this?
Well, I agree that if the tragedy had not occurred, we likely would not be covering this to the depth and the degree that we are. But the flag has held negative feelings for African Americans for years. So, you know, unfortunately, in many negative situations like the shooting, it's good to use that as a catalyst for something good. And I know you're in the South, and, you know, my family is from the South. My family's actually from Mississippi. My parents are in the Delta, cotton-picking folks, you know, born and raised. But when we would travel to the South, it made us feel uncomfortable to see that image, because that image represented hostility to us. That image represented history of discrimination, oppression, slavery. So when African Americans see it, we don't get this solid feeling of solidarity that the South was coming together to help protect their rights and interests. What we see was something totally different. So this symbol, which is the Confederate flag anyway, has taken upon such a negative context, and it was used as a symbol for racism. And so I'm glad that this conversation is occurring. I'm not happy that the deaths of those wonderful 9 people, but there's always a silver lining when something bad occurs.
Well, how about how far do you extend the conversation, I guess? I would tell you, I'm a former state senator in Louisiana. Louisiana had more slaves than any other state in America when the Civil War broke out back in 1855. I was a state senator for 8 years. I was a public official for 30 years. If I would have had to vote, we don't have the Confederate flag in Louisiana. But if we did and I had to vote, I'd vote to take it down, just as it looks like is happening. But as far as substance, symbols, you've got a number of other symbols. The flag just talks about a region of the country. It's pretty nebulous. It doesn't get very specific in terms of personalities. If you want to get, quite frankly, if you want to get the very specific, you got 87 high schools in America named after Robert E. Lee, General Robert E. Lee. You've got Jefferson Davis memorialized right in Washington, D.C. as the president of the Confederacy. You have Zachary Taylor and other presidents. And then you got the whole idea, Tiffany, if I can tell you this, 10 of the 11, the first 10 of the 11 presidents from George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, right on down, all were slave owners while they were serving as president. So if I was going to get riled up about something, the flag kind of is a symbol that maybe I'm not sure it's going to affect my life particularly, but if I really want to get into it and kind of want to get even, if you will, or get what about all those presidents that held slaves? How far do we take this debate of changing and making things different? How far should it go?
You know, I think we should start small and get some successes under our belt. And really talk to our constituents. If you are a lawmaker, talk to the people who you represent, talk to the people in the community, and find out what other symbols hold that same sentiment. I mean, not every symbol is going to represent or have that much weight related to racism, white supremacy, and those sort of things. The Confederate flag is a very much a huge symbol that represents authority, right? So that's one. A school, to me, can be another. But the problem with the school is there's going to be changes a lot. You know, are you changing the mascot? Who else are we going to recommend for a school? But I think we really should just take our time and talk with the people we represent and the people in our community and find out what else offends us. That doesn't mean that we need to go in and do a clean house, a spring cleaning, and removing everything. But there are many symbols that hold a negative connotation for many people of color, and I think we should evaluate them.
But I think you got to be fair, you know, and I've talked about this before, you know, when we talk about balancing it all out, you can't just tie it down to African Americans. All Black Lives Matter. I agree, we all agree, but I agree even more that all lives matter. So there are things that offend me that may be predominantly supported by the African American community. If you're going to have a dialogue, it's got to be a two-way street. Is that sound reasonable or not?
Yeah, well, tell me what offends you in the African American community that we hold up as a symbol that represents murder, supremacy of white. What exists? Do you want us to get rid of the NAACP? But that was an organization created by whites for help with the advancement of color people. Like, what is the equivalent of a flag that was not actually a flag representative of the Confederacy? It was resurrected to put pressure, or I wouldn't use the word pressure, to help symbolize oppression during the segregation years. So what would offend whites?
Right, well, but let's go back to this. You're right. You're going, taking us back a couple of hundred years of symbols of the flag, and the flag is still flying. But I guess I would ask you this. Are we culturally cleansing ourselves in America today? You know, one of the knocks on ISIS is that they are going through and destroying any relevant symbol of the history of Iraq, of Syria, wiping out anything that is not consistent with their beliefs, what they think is important to them. And they are, in effect, cleansing the whole flow of history so they can put their view on history. And so, you know, do you, like I say, I think you and I agree that the flag is a symbol that offends a certain portion of this population, and it goes beyond just offense. It brings up hate. It brings up the Civil War. But then the question is, how far do you go? And we're going to continue that discussion right after we take a little pause right here. So give us a little minute to do so. Dr. Timothy Sanders is joining us right now on our site. You can find out all about Dr. Sanders on my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Talking about how far you go in the cleansing, if you will, of some of the focuses of history in the past.
Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GC.
Hi, this is Steve Spillum for Midas Resources. In 1971, President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard and put us into a fiat currency. This allowed Congress and the Federal Reserve to create trillions of dollars out of thin air. The national debt has risen to incredible heights, and your hard-earned dollars buy a small fraction of what they once did. The average life expectancy for a fiat currency is 27 years. The dollar is failing and on borrowed time. When currencies fall, people turn to gold and silver because gold and silver have been real money for more than 5,000 years. It is our mission at Midas Resources to help you preserve your capital. Don't let your personal savings shrink to nothing. For important free information on how you can protect your personal wealth, contact me, Steve Spillum, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Call today while we are still accepting dollars for gold and silver. 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Make a change in your financial security today. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 308.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and bad tweets can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? Reputation.com can protect your good name. Get a free consultation now at 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from Reputation.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, we're talking about flying the Confederate flag over capitals throughout the South primarily, and the whole focus of making an evaluation of what makes sense and what doesn't. Dr. Tiffany Sanders is my guest. She's a licensed psychologist. You can find out about her on my website at jimbrownusa.com. And a really interesting book, My Purpose is for Real, Seven Steps to Get Back on Track to Achieve Your Dreams. And, hey, Dr. Tiffany, I wasn't dodging you on the flag. I can't think. I mean, there's a number of things that would offend me. The Black Panthers have a flag that offends me, but I'm not financing that flag over my state capitol. If you live in South Carolina, taxpayers are funding the Confederate flag to fly over the capitol. So if tax dollars are being used, then I think that's a greater offense. I agree with you on that. There's a number of things that offend me. Baggy pants, the Black Panther flags. I got all kinds of things that offend me. I'm an old codger, 75 years old, and I don't like a lot of the modern music that appeals to blacks and whites, but that's a private thing. And all I can do is grumble about it and not focus particularly. So I'm now predicting, though, that my tax dollars also support symbols of Jefferson Davis, the first president of the Confederacy. Robert E. Lee is memorialized in statues in Washington, D.C. and throughout the country. I think was probably the greatest general in our history outside of the generals that came out of World War II. So I guess the question is, how far do you go? Because public dollars are using to maintain these symbols. And I think what you're saying is that's a discussion that ought to evolve as you move forward. Am I hearing you right?
I do. I think it ought to evolve. I think a lot of people need to be in the conversation. Let's just start with polling the American people, and finding out what people of color, not blacks, just people of color, find to be offensive that are symbols that are funded by the federal government. But to go to your point of cleansing, we're not cleansing America of its history. We're not washing out America of its history. I think what we're trying to do is put America's history in its appropriate place for it to be revered, for it to be studied, for it to be acknowledged. And those are usually in museums, right? Versus just sitting there having it displayed in front of people, and I heard this term used on the news, as a wallpaper that we have to see every single day. And that can evoke uncomfortable feelings. So I think what we're doing is we're just removing certain symbols and placing them in a better location, and that is to all of our brothers and sisters, whether we're white, black, Hispanic, or American Indian. We should be considerate of everyone's feelings.
Well, I hear what you said. It's a question of do you do that by majority votes? Do you do it? How you reach that consensus? There is a constituency that loves the Confederate symbol who will tell you in great detail about how, a state like mine in Louisiana, 4% of the population owned slaves, 96% didn't, but it was a question of states' rights. I saw that Amazon.com said today that Confederate flag sales have gone up by as much as 3,000% in the past 24 hours. There's a constituency there that say, hey, this is misinterpreted. We love our flag. So reaching that balance, that's a heck of a challenge, isn't it?
Well, I look at the rise in purchases. It's normally because of supply and demand. When people die who are artists or musicians, there's usually an uptick in the purchase of their music because we understand that the supply and demand is going to decrease. And so we just probably want this relic just in case it becomes profitable. That might be very cynical, but I don't look at it as, there's a class of individuals who are, purchasing this because they revere it. A lot of people who revere this flag don't understand its history. They think it's symbolic of the Civil War, but it's actually was resurrected during the time of segregation to be a symbol for more oppression. So I think if people understand their history, they wouldn't be so inclined to say, let's wave this flag. We will actually wave the correct flag.
Well, I think you all, I hope you will agree, well, I'm going to just ask your opinion. I mean, I also think that you agree that from the First Amendment perspective, someone has the right to express themselves as they see fit. If you're a Black Panther and you want to have your emblem and you are very anti-white, as long as you keep it within your opinion, that's your right to do so under the protections of our Constitution. If you want to fly the Confederate flag in front of your house or on top of your roof, again, that's a freedom of expression, and you have the right to do so. I think what I'm saying, and I hear you strongly agreeing with me, that when you come into public money and public focus and public decisions, then you're crossing the line, and therefore you have to find out, you've got to balance out the offense along those lines. And it's just, that would just not be a majority vote, right?
Right, and I think sometimes you might not have a majority vote. Think back to the popular election of George Bush and Al Gore. Popular vote was for Al Gore, but that's not who ended up being president. So sometimes popular vote will not represent what should dictate our moral society. And that's actually a good thing, because though the popular vote is saying one thing, we really should be considering the feelings and of all, right? All lives matter, not just Black lives. But we also want to be extra sensitive to the lives who were really affected during that time. during the 1800s, when slavery was in existence, 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, we didn't have a Hispanic population here. We didn't have an Asian American population. It was pretty much whites and blacks. So we are considering the blacks who live here, and they are small in number. So there's going to be difficult for us to get majority votes because numbers don't exist in that favor of that group. So I don't want us to get caught up with numbers. We want to get caught up with what's emotionally and psychologically and morally right to do for all those, especially those who were most affected by slavery.
I hear you, and I think it's a reasonable evaluation of it there, Doc, and I appreciate you giving some time today. Dr. Tiffany Sanders written a book called My Purpose is for Real, 7 Simple Steps to Get Back on Track to Achieve Your Dreams. We all want to achieve. I've got a lot of dreams to achieve, Doc, so I want to look at your rules of the road. Hey, listen, thanks for being with us today. We enjoyed you. Take care. We look forward to having you back again.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Jim.
Bye-bye. Tiffany Sanders, interesting lady talking about, and she happens to be African-American, but I thought what she said was basically reasonable in trying to find that balance. In the private sector, you have a right to express yourselves as you see fit. If there are public dollars involved, flying a flag over a state capital that is offensive to a significant portion of your population doesn't make sense. It shouldn't be allowed. But those are political decisions that have to be made by those involved, elected to represent you in the process. And that's the struggle that South Carolina is having right now. The governor just can't order it down by legislative dicta. The flag flies over the South Carolina state capitol. It takes an act of the legislature, and you have to call a special session. There's a procedure you got to go through, and that's the way the law works. And if you don't like that process, you change the process. But until you do, that's the way the law works. I still strongly feel that, you know, we don't want to accept form over substance. We want some substantive considerations to be made in terms of solving these problems. And I don't want to see that we lose sight of the fact that symbolism is there, but you don't wipe away history just to kind of get even or try to make right. You know, you've got a cultural foundation of your state, and that culture, you don't cleanse that culture. ISIS is trying to cleanse the culture right now. They're trying to come in any symbol, any statute, any publication that does not meet with their interpretation of what the here and the now should be like gets destroyed. They wipe it out. So therefore, that is gone forever in terms of history. Reminds me of that movie, The Planet of the Apes. Remember Planet of the Apes, Charlton Heston? And the apes destroyed anything at all that gave credence to any other interpretation of history but theirs. No other focus would make sense except what they had to say. Hey, we're out of time. I'm sure glad you joined us today on the Common Sense Show. We're up in St. Louis, Missouri. I've got a high school class reunion. We're going to go out to Ferguson, Missouri here later on today. I'll give you a full report next week. Check your local times and stations. I'll be right here on the Common Sense Show next week. Same time, same station, to make some more common sense with you. Hope you have a pleasant weekend. Enjoy yourself. Take care. Jim Brown signing off. Talk to you again soon. Next week.
Listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCN.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi,
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.